This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So I would like to invite to take the podium and address us this evening our dear brother, Sheikh Yusuf Estes from the USA, to address the topic, Bringing Up Champions. Our brother, Yusuf Estes. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sabbi ajma'in ashadu wa la ilaha illallah wa atala shaykhullah wa ashadu an muhammadin abduhu wa rasul. Assalamu alaikum. Ho, mashallah. My name's Yusuf. Can you say Yusuf? Very good. You know, my wife still says useless. I don't know, could be a speech problem. The subject that we want to talk about tonight is a very near and dear subject to me. The subject of tarbiyah. But we didn't want to leave it in Arabic language, so we translated it more or less as raising up champions. Because tarbiyah deals with the subject of how we educate and raise our children. One of the problems of the many problems facing Muslims today is how do we deal with our youth? Now, whether you live in the East or the West or somewhere in between, there's always this subject of how can I raise my children the best way. And it's a very important thing because each and every one of these children is amana, a trust from Allah. And Allah will ask us about it. You've heard it from many of our speakers when they tell us what means in English, O you who believe, save yourselves and your family, your children, from a fire whose fuel is men in stones. There's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that means something like this, that out of every 1,000 people, 999 of those people, they're not going to make it. That means only 1 out of 1,000 really will accept this message of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and do something about it. We hear oftentimes the same verses recited again and again telling us the importance of calling to Islam. But before we even get into tonight's topic, I want to remind myself and share with all of you that when we talk about the word da'wah, this word is being grossly abused. When we talk about giving dawah to Muslims, dawah to our Muslim family, dawah to our Muslim children, it's inappropriate to use this word in this way. Because actually dawah is to call people who are not Muslim to Islam. The word in Arabic that we're looking for is actually islah. This is, according to our scholars, a much better way to describe encouraging and bringing each other closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, one of the most famous of all of the chapters, and I'm sure all of you memorized it when you were little guys, Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And again, you've heard people translate this and give the meaning of it, interpret it, and I don't want to bore you with that, but for the sake of audiences that may hear this in the future, that maybe they don't know Islam, don't know Arabic, I'll endeavor to give you just a little overview of it. Allah here is swearing by something amazing. When he says, wal asr, He's swearing by the actual passage of time, something about which we have little, if any, real concept. We think we know what time is, don't we? But how long have I been talking? How long will I talk? And how long before you'll forget everything I said? When you're sitting at the traffic light or tied up in traffic, seems like it goes on and on and oh, many hours. But you look at your watch, it was only a few seconds. But when you're watching a soccer match or a cricket game, it seems like just a few seconds. Oh, here's another commercial. And then a few more seconds and it's all over. Why? Because, of course, the things we like and enjoy, seems like that passes quickly. And Allah swears by this time. And what did he swear? And that's what's even more important, isn't it? He said, for sure, inna, certainly. Then he used the word insan. Now, insan doesn't just mean Muslims. It doesn't mean men. It doesn't mean women. It means every single human being. All of them. La fi khus. They are in what? What is khus? Al-khasirin, these are the ones that are considered losers. So human beings are in a state of being bankrupt. When we know about bankruptcy today, you're seeing in all the newspapers, so many different organizations going bankrupt, people declaring their bankruptcy. It just means they can't pay their bills. In Islam, khus means the one who on the day of judgment, on the day of accountability, they can't pay up. Because they don't have the right ingredients. They don't have the right denomination to be able to do it. They can't. That's all the human beings basically going to hell. That's it. Then a beautiful word comes. Illa ladina. Except for those who have iman, the correct kind of iman, in Allah, as one and only one. And, oh, it's not over. And they do the amal salihah, the righteous deed. Still not over. Wa tawasaw. What is that? It means to encourage and push each other, shove each other. Come on, guys, you know, let's go. And, again, wa tawasaw bilhaq. Wa tawasaw bisabr. To encourage each other in all that is the truth of La ilaha illallah. And to encourage, exhort each other. To have perseverance, steadfastness, and patience. But all of the words that I just said are much more profound in Arabic than they are in English. English is very weak when it comes to trying to understand the depth, the gravity of the Arabic of the Quran. But did you understand what I told you, the Hadith of Rasul, that almost every single person is going to go to hell? This should scare you because we're human beings. I dare say we've already got more than 1,000 people here right now. Does that mean that only one of us is going to go to paradise? Well, there's more good news, by the way, some very good news, that not all the human beings are represented here. In fact, the Muslims are supposed to be the exception to that rule, aren't they? But what do we do, and I'm going to talk about current events, what do we do in the face of some very real statistics when we find that the Muslim children, the Muslim youth, are leaving Islam? I've seen it with my own eyes. Now, not all of them are declaring that they want to be a kafir. Not all of them are saying, I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. But by their very acts, their very deeds, the very things that they're sending me in emails, putting on websites, and that social network like Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, which I call My Disgrace, we're seeing things and hearing things from our youth that scare us. I already knew before I came here that I wanted to talk on this subject of our youth and how to raise them up. But I had no idea how much Allah really wanted to drive the point home to me. The person who was supposed to take me to the airport didn't show up. They didn't come. So I asked my wife if she would take me to the airport. It's a long drive, but she said, yeah, let's go. We loaded up the old van and got ready to go out. And just as I was backing out of the driveway, a car pulled up, a van. So I thought, maybe this is the people who are supposed to take me. I don't know what their car looks like. Then somebody got out, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. I said, are you the one supposed to take me? He said, take you where? I said, to the airport. He said, you need to go to the airport? I said, no, no, it's okay. My wife will take me. No, 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 no. He says, I'll take you. All right. So I get in the van with him. We loaded up the stuff. He said, I came all the way over here to talk to you. It's an emergency. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I need help. And you're the only one that can help me. And I told him, if I'm the only one that can help you, you really do have a problem. What is it? He said, it's my children. And I wish that he was the only one who ever said it, but he's not. It's happening again and again and again and again. A sister comes and tells me about her brother. A brother tells me about his sister. The siblings telling about each other. Uncles, aunts, cousins, all contacting me with emails, phone calls. They're asking, help me, help us. But the problem is, they're coming to me just after the person has already left Islam. Just after the person has already gone to jail for drugs. Just after somebody is diagnosed with some kind of terminal disease that they got by doing whatever. In other words, they're coming and it's too late. And this was the same case. When the brother's telling me, my kids, I put them in the university. And now they're questioning Islam, they're this, they're that, so and so. And I said, when did you first think about this? He said, I've been too busy. Akhi, you know, I've got to take care of this and that. I have my job, I have my part-time job, a business I'm trying to start. I don't have time. So what will you tell Allah on the Day of Judgment about the way you raised your kids? Huh? This is serious. Some of you are young, you're not even married yet, planning on getting married, or you're just recently married, going to start your family. Some of you have some children at home, little guys. But the fact is, if you don't start thinking about it right this minute, my question is going to be, when are you going to think about it? Is it going to be after you look up and see your child in this condition? Whether they're on drugs, in jail, or left Islam, all of these things, that's when it's too late. Now ordinarily you see me with the children on TV and we're playing and having fun and talking about Islam. But this is a time for me to be serious with you about those children because I can't sit with all of them. I wish I could. But you can do something right now. First thing is, I don't care if you remember me or what I said, but you need to think about what you're going to say on the Day of Judgment. What will you say to Allah about taking care of your family? And it's not about the food, and it's not about the house and the clothes and the education, which all of us put such a high value on. There's a bigger value that comes first, isn't it? The iman in Allah. Isn't that first? Those who, like myself, come to Islam by choice, seems like they have a better grasp of that. You know why? We've already been there. We've already seen that. We know what it's all about. And we know what it doesn't do. We want to encourage ourselves, all of us, to make use of this time while we still have it. What does Islam tell us about our children? A hadith of the Prophet ﷺ has had such an impact that we've used it in many ways, usually when we talk about dawah. But actually, the hadith wasn't about dawah, it was about how to raise your children. The Prophet ﷺ used the word in Arabic called fitra. Now you know which hadith I'm going to tell you, don't you? The Prophet ﷺ said, every child is born on the fitra of al-Islam. But it is their parents who will raise them up to be a Christian, a Jew, a fire worshipper. Whatever they become, it's going to be really by the way they were raised up. Is that true or not? Have you heard it? You've heard it. And that's why today in English we say when somebody came to Islam, we even use this hadith to come up with a word in English, revert, instead of saying convert. You're saying you revert, you're just going back to your natural status, the way you were when you came into the world, the innocence, the beauty of the baby. You know, the little baby, say, oh, mashallah, look, you know how innocent they are. And as true as it is, it's still not the main point, is it? The main point is you're supposed to be raising your children as Muslim. What does it take? I'm going to give a couple examples before I walk off the stage, if you don't mind. One example happened a number of years ago when one of our brothers from an Arab country, and by the way, he told me clearly to use his story for other people. I want you to know that. This is how much it had an impact. Anyway, I met him. He came to our masjid back when I used to have a mosque in Texas. And he said, oh, I'm meeting you today. This is very exciting to meet you and also tell you some good news, some other exciting good news today. I said, okay, what is it? He said, today I put my son in American public school. I said, really? Why don't you put him in the toilet? He said, what? No, you didn't understand me. I put my son in American public school. I said, I understand you. And I think you understand me, but I'll tell you in Arabic, Hammam, why don't you put him in the toilet? He just looked at me like I was crazy. He said, why you said this? I said, because at least you could wash it off. Because the public school in my country has degraded down, deteriorated down to such a level, it's not fit to put children in anymore. And I warned him again, because we had schools that he could put his child in, but he was determined. Back home, that looks so good. My son's in American public school. The sad news is, I was right, and I wish I would be wrong. About 7 years later, after I moved up to Washington, D.C., the same brother had moved not very far from me. He called me on the phone, I got to talk to you. Please come to my house immediately. I went, and I had a brother with me, and we went. And on the way over, I was telling him the same story I just told you. Huh? Same story. I just told him, you know, when I met this guy, I told him, put your kid in the toilet, it's better than public school. When we got there, the brother gave us the best hospitality. We sat on the floor, drank the coffee, and while we're sitting there, he said, okay, do you remember the first words you ever said to me 7 years ago when you met me? I said, yeah, I do very well. I was just telling him. I'm surprised you remember. He said, well, you were wrong. I said, okay. Actually, I'm glad. I've been wrong before. He said, no, you were really wrong. I said, okay. He said, you should have told me it's 10 times better to put him in a toilet than to put him in the school. I've lost my son. What should I say? What should I do? He started crying. We talked about it. We found many problems. Most of them related to the fact that the father just didn't get it in his mind. You can't do it like that. Islam has a prescribed way for everything. Everything. And if you follow it, it will work. If you don't, you're on your own. Yes or no? Does that make sense? All right. How do we raise our children? Let's start with that. First of all, from the time they're born, does Islam tell us what to do when they're born? And then a certain few days later, that we take the hair of the head and weigh it, cut it, weigh it, and give an equal amount of charity of silver. The point isn't about the fiqh. The point is to look and ask, what am I supposed to be doing when my child is born? What am I supposed to be doing? And don't we have a celebration? Huh? We have a celebration where we bring the people and feed them and tell them, oh, we have a child that was born. Yeah. But we find today people are ignoring that. Instead, we celebrate their birthday. Were we told to celebrate their birthday? No. We were told to celebrate their birth. Did we do that? No. And then we wonder why there's a problem later. And as long as you're going to celebrate the birthday, well, you got to bring a cake, you got to have ice cream, you got to have candles. Never mind that those candles are coming from another religion. But you didn't know that, so it doesn't really matter, does it? What's happening to us? What's happening to us? The way that we raise our children up, and they're not seeing us. And when they do see us, we're not really following Islam. How are we going to explain that on the Day of Judgment? Do you expect that you could just drop your children off at a Muslim school in the morning, pick them up in the afternoon, and magically they're going to be the model Muslim? Is this really what you think? The Islamic International School here is probably one of the best Muslim schools on the planet, especially for those who have the English language and are trying to learn. I'm serious. But at the same time, if you really thought that's all it takes, how? How could you think that? You are responsible for your own children. The teachers are there to give them some message, but it's up to you to really follow through when they come home every day. When was the last time you sat with your children and helped them with the homework? When? When? When was the last time you sat with them and just listened to them talk about their day? No, you're too busy talking about your day. Or even worse, too busy watching television. Of course, if they're watching Peace TV, that's different. We'll make that exception immediately. But even Peace TV, it has some good things, but certainly you wouldn't leave your child parked in front of that television set all day long. This isn't reality. This conference that we're holding right now, this is so important for us to have this chance to be with each other and talk and share questions and answers, especially when Dr. Zakir comes out and really give you some good answers. But still, that's not our deen. If you just live all year long for the next conference, that's not our deen. Our deen is what? Some people said it's our religion. These are people that don't understand Arabic, or else they don't understand English, or both. Deen is your way of life. Everybody has a deen. Not everybody has a religion. Deen is all-encompassing. You have religion inside of deen. There is a place inside of deen for religion, for worship, for ibadah. But everything for the Muslim is deen, yes or no? We have to think about it. And to raise these children properly, we've got to plant the seeds the right way. Let me give you an example. Another time in Maryland, I was given a talk, and I know the brothers there are pretty good. Yeah, we're friendly with each other. And so when I tease them, they understand where I'm coming from. They don't see it as I'm really picking on anybody. So we had a Father-Son Day. Somebody made up an idea of Father-Son Day. I don't know why, but they did. And it's on Sunday. Anyhow, so we've got the fathers, we've got the sons. Everybody's there. I don't know why we didn't have any daughters, but whatever. Then, they were all sitting there waiting for my talk. I said, before we get started, can I ask a question? Yeah. Who will sell me their son? Huh? Who will sell me their son? What's he talking about? Okay, how much is your son worth to you? They're like, there's no amount of money. No, your son, you got a price on him. No way. $100. Oh, $1,000. $1,000,000. No, no, no. How much? Tell me the price. And they were all, I'd never sell my son and so, you know. And the kids are looking at dad like, what's this guy talking about? Then I said, okay. How many of you took a part-time job? How many of you worked late at night for extra money? Or you worked on Saturday or Sunday when the kids were home? How many of you did that? Everybody. I said, and who took care of your children while you were working? Some babysitter, or they're old enough, they take care of themselves. They don't need anybody. They're 8 years old, they're 10 years old, they don't need anything. Yeah, they're okay. We only left them about 8 or 9 hours, no big deal. We left food on the stove, they're okay. And I told him, how much did you get? $20, $25, $50, 100, 100, 125? Do I hear 150, 150, 175? Because what you did, you auctioned your kids off the same way. Whatever money you made, that's how much you sold them for. Because when you were not with them, you were not living up to your responsibility as a parent, the amana that was given to you by Allah. You say, yeah, but I needed the money for my family. Your family looks to me like you got a new Rolex on your arm. What's that got to do with your family? Looks to me like you got a new Game Boy set over here. You got a new computer over there, putting new tires on the car, jazzing up this and that, and get, and worst of all, making payments on the house you got on Reba. A'udhu billah. And all in the name of my family. If you really want to be with your family, you will find a way to do it. And you put them first instead of this dunya. Go back and look at it again and think. Think. Allah said, O you who believe, save yourself and your family from a fire. A fire that even the stones are on fire. Even the people in it are on fire. This is from the Quran. Allah is not joking. He's telling you something serious. Let's make a commitment. A serious commitment. Starting right now tonight, we're going to look at our children in a whole different light. They're our responsibility. They are a trust from Allah. And they are helpless without us. They're totally, completely unable to do this for themselves. They don't know what they need. Children don't know the best thing for themselves. When you let a child tell you what they need, what in the world are you thinking about? Do you let the children go pick out your clothes for you? Do you let the children tell you what to eat? Please. It's for sure. It's for sure in Islam that Allah, He's going to ask us about how we raise up these children. Now, okay, now we made a commitment, we're going to stay home with them. But what are we going to do? Well, you sit on the couch with them while they watch TV. Now, what's the benefit there? Or you'll take them to the park and they can watch you play a game. No. Every single family has a different situation. And I won't pretend to be able to tell you how to do yours. But I will tell you that there's a way in Islam for you to have at least enough time to give them certain valuable information they need. And you have good information. Allah has blessed you to be a Muslim. Allah has given you something that He calls na'mah. A big na'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. And Allah told us how important it is. Al-yawmu akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum Islam ad-dina. The word ni'mati. This is Allah's possessive of this verb, that Allah has given you the best of His favors, which is Islam. And what about Hidayah? All of us every day we're saying, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, guide us to the straight way. Allah is guiding us. We're turning it down. He's offering it to us every day. When was the last time you prayed Fajr in the masjid? If the answer is this morning, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, I'm proud of you. And then you came home and sat with your children and read Quran with them. Yeah? What? Or maybe you even took your children to the masjid. And after Fajr, you sat right there with the teacher and helped them learn Quran. Yeah? Not exactly. I'm kind of busy, you know? I'm going to tell you about somebody that you know. At least you know about them. I know a person that's so busy, really busy, the man doesn't sleep, except maybe sitting up in the airplane or sitting up in a vehicle while we're traveling to another place. I've traveled with him in a lot of places and seen how he operates. The man doesn't know how to sleep. He's too busy running a television channel, a school, and for sure these conferences that you're at right now. You know who I'm talking about. There's no way you or I could even begin to touch one of his days. We couldn't do it. We'd have to go to the hospital to recuperate for one day. Yet this man has time for his family. He has time for his children. I know because I've been with him and I've seen it. He's got the time and he's got something else from them. He has their respect, their full respect. Why? Well, of course, it's from Allah. It's a gift, no doubt. But it's something that he has put himself in position to receive. And you and I are not doing that if we're not following Islam. And there are a lot of other people that aren't famous, that we don't know them. They also are doing a lot of work. A lot of work. And still finding time to take care of their family. And that's where we have to find something called al-mizan, which is a balance. A balance. Now probably, if you knew my story, you'd say, well, that's the most unbalanced guy in the world. Then you'd be right. But somehow I still managed to find at least some time each day for my kids. Even when I traveled, I used to take them with me. Even when we were far away from home, we still found time to sit with our Quran, go over some hadith. I'm sure not the best one for Quran recitation, and certainly not the best for Arabic, but I'm the one that Allah gave them. So I figured Allah wants me to try to do it, and we did. You can do it. You can do it, if Allah wills. But you got to try, brother and sisters. This is your real job. These children are going to be directly, really a reproduction of you, what you do. They'll be just like you. And they're going to be a product of what you show them. Remember the hadith. I'll repeat it again as I'm winding this up and remind you again of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. When he told us every child is born on the fitra of al-Islam. He's already born. Every child. I don't care if the parents are Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Jewish. Doesn't matter. Pretend Muslim. It doesn't matter. The child is born what? Innocent. We're not saying Islam from the standpoint the child's doing salat. We're saying that they're on the fitra of what Islam is about. Being innocent. Being pure. Being totally and completely dependent on Allah. The child is in that condition. Yes or no? And for us, we know that if any of these children, these babies, die, they go straight to paradise. I don't care what the religion of the parents was, the child at least is going to paradise. And there, in paradise, asking Allah, oh Allah, let my parents be with me. Oh Allah, let my parents be with me. Subhanallah. But what are we going to do with these beautiful, innocent children? What are we going to do with them? It's up to us, isn't it? And before I walk off, this one little piece of advice that I always like to give our youth. I want to talk to the youth for just a minute. Anybody who has a father or a mother, basically all of us, think about what I'm going to say. In Islam, we learned a very valuable lesson about our parents, didn't we? How much rights do our parents have on us? Do they have any rights? Or do we just like, okay, I'm 18 now, I've had it with you people, goodbye. I'm 21, I don't need to hear your stuff. I heard it. I'm on my own. That's Western mentality. They walk out the door, many of them never come back. Except to borrow money or a place to stay. I'm asking you. Do the parents have rights in Islam? What did the Rasulullah tell us? Somebody went to him and they said, after Allah, Allah has big rights on you to worship Him alone without any partners, and His messenger. The Prophet has rights on you that you follow Him and everything, because if you don't, then Allah ain't going to love you. As Allah said about the Prophet in the Quran, chapter 3, verse 31, and He made it very clear because He said, "Kul, say, Kul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim." Say to them, O Muhammad, when they say, "I love Allah, Allah loves me," you know, people say, "I love Allah." When they say that, tell them, if you really love Allah, follow me. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah will love you. And He'll forgive you for your sins. Because He is the forgiver, the merciful. So Allah and His Messenger have the biggest rights. But after, and this is what the companion was asking, after Allah and His Messenger, who has the most rights on me? And you'll be able to hear the lady say it all the way back from the sister section. After Allah and His Messenger, who has the most rights on me, said your mother. And then your mother. And then your mother. And then your father. They didn't even need a microphone. You could hear it, couldn't you? Huh? Huh? Of course, partly they're reminding you. Your mother, and then your father. Why is this important to know if we're talking about tarbiyah? Well, because if you do not give your parents their rights, guess what? Your children are not going to give you your rights either. How you treat your parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you children to treat you the same way. I want you to think about that. I'm looking into the audience, the father of Dr. Zakir Naik. And I have seen them in their family situation. And I see the respect being given to the father. And then I see the respect of the son being given to his father the same way. How? This is from Allah. At the same time, I've been in homes where I've seen disrespect given to the elder, and then the child disrespecting them the same way. Have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, all you got to do is just ask yourself a question. How do I want to be treated as a parent? How do I want to be treated? I don't care if you're 15 years old. I don't care if you're 8 years old. You still can understand what I'm telling you. How you treat your parents today, look out. Because you can expect the same thing back from your own children in a very short time. It's very critical that you and I realize the only way we're going to ever raise up these champions. We want them to be champions. We want them to get out there and do good. We want them to be the best examples as Muslims. We want them to be the best doctors, the best engineers, the best professors, the best business people. We want our children to be the best. Of course, I'm putting an emphasis on Islam. I want to see our children be scholars of Islam, hafiz of the Quran. I want to see them really get involved in what our religion is teaching. But at the same time, I realize that there is a very material matter that we have to deal with. But don't let either one take you away. And in this final last couple seconds, I want to talk about the one who gets too involved in religion to take care of his family. Because usually people like me are telling you to get into the religion, get more involved in it, la 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 la. Go to the masjid, read the Quran, sit in the circles of learning, la la la. But if it takes you away from your responsibility, your family, it's still a problem, isn't it? There is a balance. We are the Ummat in Wasitan. What does Wasitan mean? Balance. There is, of course, time for Salah, time for learning Quran, time for being with the brothers in the masjid. But when we pick up and leave and don't come back for days at a time, weeks at a time, and then when we are there, we're trying to make up for the lost time. You know, I was out doing my preaching or whatever, and now I don't have time for my family. I have to double up on my work. I still have ignored the thing that I was commanded to do above all other things, and that's the treatment of other people. Earlier today, we heard a beautiful talk about dignity and how important dignity is. And this is the same. Give your children dignity by spending your time with them. And then when somebody asks you, how much are your children worth? You say to them, my children are worth my time. That's what they're worth. And you can't give that to them, only I can. Spend a little bit more time with those children. You'll be glad you did. Allah will love you for that. Your children will respect you for that. And most important, on the Day of Judgment, you will have at least tried your best. And hopefully, you won't have to be calling me or Dr. Zucker or some of the other teachers out here and begging them to come help you deal with a problem that you could have avoided a long time ago just by spending your time. And really, that's it, isn't it? It was too simple. Didn't really need me to come out here and tell you. It was right in front of you. But that's what's beautiful about Islam. It is simple, and it is right in front of all of us. Before I walk off now, I want to make a prayer, a dua, a supplication to Allah for me, for my family, for your family, for all the future generations of all the Muslims. I beg Allah that He will guide them, guide us to be the best Muslims we can be in whatever we do. Ameen. We ask Allah, beg Allah, to keep our children and our families and us away, far away from that hellfire. Ameen. We ask Allah for the best of this life and the best of the next life and save us from that punishment of the fire. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanan wa fil akhirati hasanan wa qina adhaban nar. Ameen. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen hu aladhi ja'ana muslimin. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallahu khairah, Sheikh Yusuf Espez, for the truly inspiring talk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.